Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, here we go. Not only is it Friday, not only is this the beginning of the weekend, but there's Mardi Gras parade stuff going on this weekend. Parades tonight, Saturday night, Sunday, and then there's the Algiers Mardi Gras Fest happening in the federal grounds in Algiers this weekend. So a lot of stuff is going on. It's Free for All Friday on the show. We don't want to be too serious, but a couple of things we have to clean up at the beginning of the show, and then we're going to just move on and have fun. I promise you're going to learn something from our show today. Right now, reach over there and crank it up, because this is what you have been working for. Okay, so much to get to. And again, you are going to learn something from the show this afternoon. We've got a couple of things going on, and there's some things that I'm learning doing the show today. And you'll see it as time goes on. You will learn something you did not know from our show today. All right, a lot going on. What a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. Ian Hocus, our senior studio producer and our senior producer of the show.
What's up, man?
Hey, man, it's just a beautiful day and a lot going
on
this weekend. Coup de vu.
Yeah.
So what if they're not going to be on the traditional route? You know, it's shortened a little bit. And we even have an article on our website about how these preseason Mardi Gras parades, like this weekend, some of these parades are not treated fairly. And it does seem like, and we talked about it this week, you do get the impression that the mayor and the city have been a little rough on Coup de Vue.
Yeah.
Because it's a satire. They are not afraid to make fun of politicians and politics, and they're not afraid to make fun of the city. And you have to learn to laugh at yourself. And if you can't laugh at yourself, well, then you got a problem. And, you know, it's sad to me that Mayor Cantrell always sounds angry. I mean, even when she's saying something positive, she sounds angry. And I know she's not going to listen to anybody, but I could transform this woman into a successful... Well, she is a successful politician, but, you know, it wouldn't take much to transform her into a very likable person. And she's doing things that are not very likable. And now we're getting news of this. I'm not going to go on about Cantrell all day.
Please.
But now she may have violated state law by funding this promotional mailer bragging about all the things that she's done.
Come on.
Is she trying to get kicked out? I mean, the things that she's done that seem to be inappropriate or allegedly inappropriate, there's so many. It's one after another after another. She couldn't be doing more if she was trying to get kicked out of office. And, you know, when she talks about, you know, the parades and Mardi Gras or whatever, we are going to have these parades. And da-da-da. Her tone is always angry. Like, lighten up, Mayor. We're here to have a good time, babe. Just loosen up.
Today's special is the blue crab omelet with a side of hash browns and some grits. You want white or wheat toast?
I mean, I could have started the show with, okay, the weekend is here. We're going to have a weekend. It's going to be a weekend like a pre-pandemic weekend, and now it's time to turn it up because this is what you have been working for.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend in the city of New Orleans. Everyone is going to be happy in that regard.
And everything is relative to that. She says that a lot.
Oh, not regard. It's relative.
Relative to. Look, I'm not going to make fun of that. I'm not. We're just having fun.
Yeah, people say things that they say. That's okay. Really?
I mean, I've got my own things that I say that I probably shouldn't say.
100%.
But anyway, there's a lot. Maybe we'll make a list of those one day.
Yeah, I got mine.
So I just wish the mayor would just not seem so angry and so dictatorial. Whenever she talks, I mean, just relax. I mean, sometimes you're delivering good news and you sound so mean and angry that that's why everybody thinks you're so damn hateful. So anyway, there is a possibility that Crew de Vue is kind of being punished because of their satirical nature. But anyway, I don't know if we can prove it. But anyway, you still can enjoy Crew de Vue Saturday night. And it should be a lot of fun. Now, you heard yesterday the police chief, the interim police chief, Michelle Woodfork. She is talking now about targeted enforcement technology and using things that have been used in the past but not recently to try to end the crime wave in New Orleans. All of that's good stuff. But I also listened a little bit to Newell's show when Ronald Surpass was on. And between Ronald Surpass, former NOPD chief, and Newell Norman, former sheriff of Jefferson Parish, between those two guys, they've got the answers. The point is, if they have the answers, there are answers out there. This is not an impossible situation. And it seems like some of the things that Mayor Cantrell and the city are doing now are beneficial. It's too soon to declare everything is great, but it looks as if there are some things in place and more things will be put in place that are going to help the crime wave over time. It's not going to end right away. In fact, the things that are put into place right now may be working, but we may not see the results for months or even a year from now. It's not going to happen overnight. So I do think some of the things are good. And we talked yesterday about truancy, cracking down on these young thug punks just not going to school, committing crimes during the day. And also, we've got curfew laws. Let's enforce the curfews. I mean, these kids should not be out at night in certain areas of the city. I mean, it's just they shouldn't be. But there's no reason for a 14-year-old, 15-year-old to be hanging out on Bourbon Street at 2 o'clock in the morning or even at 11 o'clock at night. There's no reason for that. It's just not supposed to happen, but it does. So those are the things that need to get cleared up. But I guess in listening to Newell and Ronald, I got the feeling that really there are answers out there. And this is not an impossible situation. And if the city doesn't figure this out, it's on the city. All right. So this afternoon, we're going to talk about Mardi Gras parades. We're going to talk about the Algiers Mardi Gras Fest. We're going to talk about the day the music died. This is the day, February 3rd, that Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper were all killed in a small plane crash after performing in Cedar Lake, Iowa. They had just performed a concert. And you've seen this from the Buddy Holly story and from La Bamba, the movie about Richie Valens. They had a chance to get into a small plane. The heat on the bus wasn't working very well, so they were really cold on the bus. And they had a chance to fly in this plane. And it was a small plane. It took off, and apparently not long after takeoff, it crashed. It was snowing, and it was just a single-engine plane, and there were a lot of things that were wrong about that. It happened. But most people seem to think that Don McLean wrote the song American Pie in part about that day. And when he refers to the day the music died, that's the day the music died for him. Now, in an interview with Don McLean a couple of years ago, I asked him about American Pie. And I asked him about what he was thinking about at the time that he wrote the song. So you're going to hear Don McLean come as close as he will ever come to actually defining what American Pie is about.
And that is it. He gives a fascinating answer.
It is fascinating.
I went back and pulled that cut because I knew we were going to need to play it today. And, man, I listened to the entire thing. It's a long answer, too. It's just about 6 minutes. And I was just hanging on every word. That's appointment listening.
Yeah, we're going to share that with you in the next hour. So we'll also talk about the day the music died for you. When somebody died, or even like Newell was saying, when disco ended, he was into disco and some other things. And when disco ended, he thought, well, the music is dead. The music died. It wasn't long after disco died, though. There was a couple of years. And then suddenly, by 1983, dance music was back in the form of the new British invasion, in the form of new wave, in the form of 80s music that we now refer to as 80s music, songs like Don't You Want Me Baby by Human League, and there were a number of other songs, and people were dancing again. So when somebody passed away, was that the day the music died for you? Now, for me, as much as I thought the death of Kurt Cobain was terrible, was just so tragic, and Kurt Cobain was robbing a young generation of watching him mature. I mean, I would love to know what Kurt Cobain would be doing today. I mean, what kind of music would he be making today? And he was just such a leader, such a prophet in some ways, such an innovator, that I'd love to see what he would be today. So he robbed us of that opportunity by committing suicide at the age of 27. I knew the grunge music was not going to die with Kurt Cobain. So that's not the day the music died for me. The day the music died for me was when John Lennon died. When John Lennon was killed, and I've shared this with you before, I was going to do a show, doing the morning show at the time, at another station. And I got the newspaper that morning. I'd gone to bed early, so I missed the news on Monday Night Football, the news that had broke during Monday Night Football, that John Lennon had been killed. And I was shocked on a dark street downtown, standing alone there at the newspaper kiosk. I buy this newspaper, and I find out that John Lennon is dead. And in a way, that was the day the music died for me, because there had been talk about the Beatles. Well, there had been a lot of offers for the Beatles to get back together again. So even though there was a slim chance, there was still a chance. And when John Lennon died, it's like, okay, the Beatles will never be. They will never be the Beatles again. And so for me, that was kind of the day the music died. For others, it's Chester Pennington, Bennington from Linkin Park. It might be Prince. It might be somebody else. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. What is the day the music died for you? Before we get to a break, let's do a couple of text messages.
Let's just take a few more seconds to make fun of LaToya Cantrell's linguistic choices here. Here's a text that says, don't forget about holistic. She loves holistic.
Well, holistic is fine, except that it's not necessarily a philosophy. To say holistic approach, it's like looking at the big picture, which should be obvious, and it's not like this is some kind of a big new philosophy, like this holistic philosophy. It's about just looking at the whole new picture. And I'm not going to get into some of the ways that she pronounces different things, because I'm not into making fun of that. I mean, I might with somebody else, but I'm not going to do that with the mayor.
That's good. Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, the reason why I...
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think Mayor Cantrell always sounds so angry is because she has a background as a community activist, and all of her experience thrives on getting people emotionally wound up and angry. She doesn't know anything else.
That's a great point. That is a great point. But somebody should have worked with her, and somebody could have worked with her and calmed her down and smoothed out some of those rough edges to where she sounds like a nice person. I mean, she doesn't sound like a nice person. And this is coming across, especially when she is talking about things that she's trying to deny. But also when she's got good news, it just sounds like she's angry.
Before we proceed much, it just occurred to me, you know, there is a trap that white people kind of fall into when we talk about black politicians and we say that they're too angry and that their opinion should be discounted for their reason. We hold them to a standard of behavior that we don't hold white people to. But that's not what we're doing here. I think it's okay for us to acknowledge that that is a thing that we could tip into if we weren't paying close enough attention and we weren't being thoughtful about it. But it's both things are possible. Well, like that trap does exist for white people talking about black politicians. But it's also true that she just also sounds really angry all the time.
It's not perception.
It's reality.
I don't think it exists on this show, but it does exist. And I mean, Donald Trump sounds angry all the time.
Of course.
I mean, Donald Trump, everything is about anger. And he even admitted that as he announced running for president and as he's doing these campaign stops, he said he's angrier now than he was before.
God help
us. So, I mean, that's all we need. He's angrier now than he was in 2020. So we'll have to see what that does. Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, that guy is always angry. And these are two white guys we just talked about.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this one. What does LaToya sound angry at all the time? She thinks she's tantalizing Teddy after dark at the Pentalba, but she's terrible Teddy when it comes to press conferences, and she still can't pronounce New Orleans.
All right. So look, we've got to get into this. There's breaking news this afternoon about this balloon. There is a balloon, a China balloon, a balloon from China over Montana. And they don't exactly know what it is, but they think it's a surveillance balloon. Actually, they think the Chinese are spying on us. And I'm thinking, wait, they've got TikTok. Do they need a surveillance balloon, too? All right, so this balloon is hanging up there. It's 60,000 feet in the air. And the first thing that I think about is it's invading U.S. airspace. Why don't we shoot the damn thing down? Well, apparently they're concerned about the debris falling to the ground. So that is a concern. But here's some breaking news about this Chinese balloon hanging over the U.S.
A foreign ministry spokesperson says the airship is from China, and it's a civilian airship used for research, mainly meteorological purposes. Affected by the westerlies and with limited self-steering capability, the airship had deviated far from its planned course. The spokesperson says the Chinese side regrets the unintended entry of the airship into U.S. airspace due to force majeure, adding Beijing will continue communicating with the U.S. and properly handle this unexpected situation. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Well, get it the hell out of here. I mean, they can steer it. It's not like it's just a subject of the currents, the wind current, the airstream. They can control the thing because they've seen that ability. And apparently there are some missile silos in Montana.
Yeah, they got tons of silos out there.
And so it could be that it's looking at that. But, you know, I mean, first of all, we have no reason to believe the Chinese. And if they say something, it's almost like the opposite is probably true. Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder says the U.S. Doesn't believe China's claim.
We know that it's a surveillance balloon, and I'm not going to be able to be more specific than that. We do know that the balloon has violated U.S. airspace and international law, which is unacceptable. The balloon is currently assessed to be at about 60,000 feet, so again, well above the range of civilian air traffic or where civilian air traffic would normally fly. Certainly aware that there are cameras, civilian-owned commercial cameras that could spot this balloon.
Okay, shoot the balloon down. Ready? On three, fire. One, two, three, fire. Shoot it out of the sky.
Shoot her! Shoot her!
The Pentagon, shoot it! Shoot it! The Pentagon press secretary also said that they have no plans to shoot it down.
Out of an abundance of caution, cognizant of the potential impact to civilians on the ground from a debris field, right now we're going to continue to monitor and review options.
Okay, wait a minute. Come on, wait. Shoot it.
So basically, based on this, what we're hearing from the Pentagon, I mean, let's read between the lines here. The Pentagon is saying that if a Chinese bomber or a Russian bomber flies over the U.S., they're not going to shoot it down because they're afraid of the debris.
Yeah, they don't want to hurt the corn.
The other thing is, you could probably not find a less populated state than Montana to shoot the thing down over.
And even if it gets past Montana, it's like South Dakota, you know, North Dakota.
If you're going to shoot it down, do it now. But apparently they're not going to. And I think that I think they're giving us an excuse for not doing it. I don't think it's the debris field.
They're just going to let it keep going east? Are we just going to be talking about the balloon for another couple days or weeks until – what are they going to go up with a big fan and push it over into Canada or something? I mean, what's the end game here?
I understand the Chinese can control it. So they're controlling it. It's not just flying around.
Come get your balloon.
Please. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Art Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Do we have the song?
Yep.
It's coming. Okay, here it is. Here it is. You know, we always try to match our bumper music with things that we talk about, and so there's a Chinese balloon hanging up in the sky, and I thought we'd talk about this. Plus, it's a good excuse to play this 80s song anyway.
Banger.
I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. It's a beautiful day, and Mardi Gras parades start tonight and roll right on through the weekend. Great time of year here. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this free-for-all Friday afternoon. So the preseason parades may be disadvantaged a little bit. We've got a story about that on our website, WWL.com. And also a story about Jazz Fest single-day tickets are on sale. And they've got the daily lineups, and we've got them on our website, WWL.com. Let's go to Slidell. Danny, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Scoot. You're talking about the day the music died. You make me think. That's what I love about your show. I look at it as the day the music began for me. I'm 72 years old. And which song revolutionized America back in late early 60s? You would think it would be an Elvis, but no, that's not the case.
What was the song?
Well, here it is. It was, this guy went, a black artist.
Okay.
And the song that I think revolutionized young and old, black and white, was The Twist, Chuck Berry.
You know,
music started for me.
Well, that's interesting. You know, you would have been maybe 11, 12 years old at the time. And, you know, I remember going to a big party at my aunt and uncle's house. And The Twist was out, and they knew that my parents knew I knew how to do The Twist, so they pull me out in front of everybody and say, "Okay, look, little Scooty's gonna do the twist," and they played The Twist, and I did The Twist in front of all these people, and you know it was a big dance, but there were some dances before that, but for a lot of people, Danny, that might be the day the music started.
That's my point. I don't know. I didn't want to interrupt the show, but
that's all right.
You make people think. That's what I like about your show. So keep going. And
all right, Danny.
Happy day. And
Thank you so much for listening. In fact, I am guaranteeing you that you're going to learn something from our show today. Maybe a couple of things, because I learned a couple of things getting ready for the show today. And at some point, you're going to hear something. I'll say something and go, "Wow, you know, I didn't know that." So we're going to have some vital, vital information for you. Let's go to Phoenix and Leonard. You're on WWL. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, Scoot. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, listen, I listen to you guys broadcast off and on out here, in Phoenix, Arizona, suburb of Gilbert is where I reside. But I'm born and raised there in New Orleans, born at Charity Hospital, and basically grew up on the West Bank. And my career moved me away from New Orleans back in the 90s. But I have a lot of my relatives are there, aunts who have gotten older, as well as cousins. Mm-hmm. And I love the city. I love the city. And I hate what's going on with this crime. I hate it with a big passion. I love your show. I love what you guys are doing. I love what you stand for. And I wish that we could get back to that loving city that it is.
Well, I almost ran for mayor. I did, and I decided for a couple of reasons not to right now. But, Leonard, when you compare what you hear about crime in New Orleans to the crime scene in Phoenix and surrounding areas, compare those two.
Well, I'm not sure. In one sense, I mean, let me say this. I'm a Christian, and the bottom line is the crimes that we're seeing, whether here in Phoenix or in New Orleans, it has to do with the humans and our lack of getting away from God is the bottom line, because we've gotten away from the basics, which is respect, which is love for humanity.
The other thing that God does, or whatever your God is, the thing that does is it holds you accountable. Because when you're away from your parents, or you think you're away from the authorities, if you do have some belief in a supreme being of some kind, then you know that that is always with you and always judging you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's holding accountable. And like I said, the teach about respect and treating others the way in which you would want to be treated. So, you know, that which I know the city is dealing with now, wow, I mean, this is, you know, it bothers me so much that even when I have visited, come back home, put it this way, it's different for me in the sense of just looking over my shoulders, making sure everything is A-okay. Yeah. But there's still hope. There is hope that things can get better. And that's why I like your show. I love what you guys are standing for. And as I told you, your producer earlier, I mean, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't have to bring up race or anything. I'm an African-American, and I shouldn't have to bring that up. The bottom line is I love people. And I hate what's going on there in the city with the young people and the crime and the silliness that's going on. But I do know that I thank you all for weathering the storm in the area, so to speak, as far as the crimes are concerned. And and yes, I hope that this thing can be turned around ASAP, because just as you guys mentioned at times, I mean, what's going over in Jefferson Parish, I mean, come on, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, okay, what they're doing over there, let's implement it over here in Orleans Parish.
Well, and the problem is, though, Leonard, is that politics gets in the way, and politicians here become territorial. They become so territorial with their area, and, you know, this is my area, and you can't tell me what to do in this area. That is, I think that is the biggest problem that we have right now.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate. I mean, so unfortunate. I would love to see, and I wish perhaps you would run for mayor there or so. I mean, come on, it's not that hard to, you know what, if we really want to crack down on this thing as far as crime is concerned, this mayor, hey, ask the governor for help. Ask the National Guard to come in and assist the police.
No, it's been the reluctance of seeking help in the past has been a problem and has led to where we are today. Leonard, it has been an honor to talk to you. Now, every summer, my family drove from New Orleans to Phoenix because I had an aunt and a grandfather and a grandmother that lived in Phoenix. So every summer, that was our vacation, driving from New Orleans to Phoenix. Is Macayo's still a popular restaurant there?
Oh, yeah. Macayo's is still around. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was like we always always made a stop at Macayo's. It's a famous Mexican restaurant in Phoenix.
They're still around and still doing their thing, putting out good food, Mexican food on that end or so.
All right, Leonard, a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're in town here. I'm next week, but thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Leonard. And don't ever stop caring, even though you're, you know, in Phoenix. And if you're anywhere outside of New Orleans and you still care about the city, I think that's a really good thing. I've got to take just a moment to address something that Congressman Jim Jordan has said. Jim Jordan is one of those politicians who always seems angry all the time. He tweeted this out. How can you support the First Amendment, but also support the cancellation of news sites like One American News Network? And then recently, a lot of right-wing conservatives have been complaining about Newsmax being dropped by DirecTV. Let me read one response to Congressman Jordan's tweet. It says, how can you not understand what the First Amendment covers? It says Congress can't make laws suppressing free speech. It doesn't require a privately owned company to broadcast a privately owned cable channel. Are you really this stupid or just hoping your followers are? And that pretty much answers it. Jim Jordan doesn't have a foxtrot clue about what's going on with the First Amendment.
He's mad because he's allergic to jackets.
He's the one who he doesn't wear a jacket. That's his style. He's always got the shirt and the tie, which is okay. I mean, wear what you want. I don't care. But he doesn't understand freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech. Freedom to say. Freedom to say, this is my lucky day.
And we will continue to do all we can to make sure that people understand what freedom of speech is really about. And Jim Jordan is the epitome of a right-wing snowflake. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
It's okay. All good?
That is called the Mardi Gras song by two major twins.
Slaps.
I'm Scoot on the air. Let me just say one more thing about Congressman Jim Jordan not understanding the First Amendment. DirecTV dumped Newsmax because Newsmax was demanding too much money. And DirecTV didn't want to raise the rates of their clients, their customers. So they said, Newsmax, I'm sorry, you're done. Plus, not many people watch Newsmax. When it comes to One American News Network, OANN, OANN, that was a miserable, miserable failure. I mean, just it wasn't worth keeping on the air. So networks, some people canceled it. Some carriers canceled it. It's that simple. Let's go to James and Harvey. James, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. I wanted to do a Black History thing this since it's February.
Okay.
Just after Martin Luther King was assassinated, the black leaders in Memphis got together to have what they called the Memphis Cares ceremony to remind people of to not be violent, riot, and so forth. But because they were short of funds, they asked for donations. And there was a white auto dealer that was very successful. He funded this gathering at a stadium to fund this Memphis Cares celebration. Well, the word got out in Memphis, and this white auto dealer went bankrupt and was run out of town. He later moved back. Now, I will start this minute history fact by one of my physical ed teachers. Instead of him, we're doing physical ed, he used to teach us black history.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I forgot this gentleman's name. If there's anybody out there that know it, I don't even know if he wants his name to be put out, especially for what happened to him. But my point is, not all black history heroes have monuments to their name or plaques or even want to be known. You got a lot of quiet heroes, and a lot of them are white, Jewish, Spanish. Not all black history is all about black history. All our history is American history.
And James, I love the way you put that, and you're right. And I mentioned the first day of February this week that it is Black History Month. And if you need an explanation as to why we have Black History Month, if you're thinking like, why don't they have a White History Month? If you need an explanation of that, really, you have to find it on your own, because I don't feel like we need to waste time talking about that, because we've talked about it enough. It's obvious why there's a Black History Month. And, I mean, end of conversation there. So we will be talking about Black History Month this month. If you're on hold, stay with us. We are going to get to all of your calls. If you do want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, brought to you by Ramsey's Jewelers, on this day, February 3rd, 1989, this song by Tone Loc became the first rap single to reach over a million sales. Wild Thing. Huge song in the late 80s. All right, there is some economic news that right-wing radicals are not going to be happy about. They're not going to be happy that so many Americans are doing well. We'll tell you about that later. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. I remember this day on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar brought to you by Ramsey's Jewelers. I remember talking about this on the air the day it happened. It was on this day, February 3rd, 2016, Maurice White, vocalist and co-founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, died in his sleep at the age of 74. They had 16 hits on Billboard top charts between 1974 and 1983. And health problems forced him to give up touring in 94, but he was always part of the business aspect of the group. Maurice White, a truly phenomenally talented R&B singer and just contemporary singer. So it's the day he passed away in 2016. Hey, let me mention, for all of you who just want to believe this lie, first of all, this is America. If you want to believe lies, you can. But we're going to make sure that we talk about the truth here. The truth is, DirecTV dumped Newsmax because Newsmax was demanding more money. Newsmax was bankrolled by AT&T. AT&T owns DirecTV, and DirecTV replaced Newsmax with a conservative network that wasn't making the same demands. So there's no way anybody can successfully argue that DirecTV dumped Newsmax because they disagree with their opinion, because they replaced them with another conservative network. So glad we could set the record straight on that. I'm Scoot. Hang on. It's Free for All Friday, and we'll be back on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.